Adventures of Uncle Jimmy, a Warner Brothers radio production starring William Farnham. Original story and direction by Edward Lynn. A phone call came from Mr. Stewart's office saying that Robert, Miss Brenton, and Arnold himself would not be home for dinner because of a business conference. Instead of Miss Brenton's importance as a major threat to Bobby and Rosalind's happiness diminishing, she loomed even more importantly than ever. Rosalind, worried and puzzled by the turn of events, went to her room at Mrs. Jetson's. But the thing which confused even Uncle Jimmy was that thus far the girl had not actually done anything wrong.
But Florence, dear, we can't prove that Miss Brenton has violated any code of moral or social ethics.
That business conference certainly must be an important one. Here it is, 12:05. I shouldn't wonder but what Rosalind hasn't slept a wink.
Oh, she'll sleep all right soon as Bobby gets home.
But how'll she know he's home?
Oh, she'll know. I moved all his things over to Mrs. Judson's earlier this evening. From tonight on, the children are under one roof.
Oh. Uncle Jimmy, bless you for that.
Yes, figured if the boy was well enough to go gallivanting around a little, why, he was strong enough to walk from Mrs. Jetson's over to your home.
Your home, too, Uncle Jimmy. What's ours is yours for as long as we have it. And, oh, my, how you've earned every moment of it.
Thank you, Florence.
Oh, that's Arnold driving into the garage. Wonder if we have two visitors or three.
Well, we soon know. Oh, and Florence. Even though it looks as though Miss Brenton were guilty, until we definitely prove her so, let's give her the benefit of the doubt.
Well, I'll see about that. I'm not in the mood to make any promises.
Oh, Flory, dear, I owe you and Rosalind and Uncle Jimmy 1,000 apologies.
Me too, Mom. Gosh, we sure were hoping you'd save us something to eat. We just had sandwiches and some coffee.
Well, glad you're home. Kept the fire going. Here, let me take your coat.
It's sure good to be home. Well, son, you'd better tiptoe up to bed.
Sure thing. I felt that long session a little.
You're not tiptoeing upstairs in this house tonight, Bobby. But to Rosalind's, at Mrs. Jetson's.
No fooling?
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Jimmy! You old Mr. Fix-It, you!
Gosh, let me shake hands with you or something.
Yeah, my boy.
Mom, did you hear that?
Robert, I'd like to talk to your father alone. That is, unless Miss Brenton is coming in to warm her hands at our hospitable fire.
Oh, Flory, do you women love your own sex? Meow, meow.
I've been insulted by you before, Arnold, so I shan't take exception this time.
Is Miss Brenton out in the car?
Well, she drove me home. Dad trailed us. She saw a light in Rosalind's room and took her a box of candy.
Well, will you please tell Miss Brenton, Miss, call me Mitzi Brenton, that I've seen through her little game, and she needn't pay my daughter-in-law any more calls.
See here.
Now, Bobby, Mother's upset tonight, and we're all of us tired, and so...
So you go on making excuses for my wife's beautiful green eyes.
Good night, Dad. Mom. Good night, Uncle Jimmy.
Good night.
See you in the morning. Oh, give me a call, Uncle Jimmy, will you? I'm due at the office in the morning with Dad.
Bobby! Why, that's wonderful news. Wonderful. Why, congratulations. Gee, I'm so thrilled.
Thanks, Uncle Jimmy. So is Mom.
Well, I guess I'll get off to bed. Looks like you two people want to have a little chat, and so good night.
Don't go, Uncle Jimmy. I want you to be a witness to something I'm going to tell Arnold.
Florrie, I've got some really wonderful news for you.
And I for you. The first thing in the morning, I want you to go to the senior partner and recommend to him the dismissal of a thoroughly bad woman.
Florence, wait. Don't say anything you'll be sorry for.
I want you to recommend the dismissal of a thoroughly bad woman. Myrtle Marie Brenton.
Rosalind, that's what we used to do when I was in college. Just about this time of night, we'd put a blanket over the transom, and somebody's produced food from somewhere, and here we are eating chocolates at midnight. I know I'll be sick, but I love it.
Was it wonderful going to college, Miss?
Well, I didn't learn very much, but it was fun. Everything I know that's worthwhile, life taught me. And life taught you the same.
I'm really envious of you. You have such poise and charm and sophistication. I don't suppose you ever get confused anymore or blush.
Oh, I still get confused, Rosalind. But, well, anyhow, I envy you your blushing. We've been laughing and talking about things both wise and foolish. You say you envy me. I wish you'd say you trust me.
Missy, some people we trust the moment we see them. Some people we love the moment we see them. With others, we must learn.
Oh, if I could only tell you just why I'm taking such an interest in Bobby.
You said it was for my sake.
Yes, that's true. But, well, someday we women will learn to trust each other. Until then, please believe me. I want to be your loving friend.
Thank you, Missy.
Thank you, Missy. I suppose I can't expect any more. Someday, Rosalind, you'll be grateful that a woman came into Bobby's life who put all her cards on the table. Oh, here comes Bobby. I'll just slip out the front door.
What a surprise.
Oh, it's too grand to spoil. Rosalind, if you ever need me, call me at the office. I'm never too busy to help you in any way I can.
Mrs. Judson, I wouldn't have dreamed of running over, but I saw the light burning in your kitchen. Did you see Bobby as he went upstairs?
Yes. He came in through the back door and threw his arms around me and kissed me.
Did he drop a little hint about what took place at the office?
Yes, he said Miss Brenton gave him his choice of two jobs, one out of town and one in town. And at this J.D., the big boss, come in and said, I'm going to give Arnold Stewart's son the chance to learn the business from the ground up.
Well, we can thank Miss Brenton for many things. She certainly worked wonders with Bobby. You've got to hand it to Mitzi. She's got something, all right.
Expect she has. But it's too bad Robert Stewart had to fall for it instead of a single man.
Well, I'm neither for or against. After all, actions speak louder than words. Let's just hold her off at arm's length there and make her prove herself to each and every one of us.
She's already proved herself to one, Bobby.
No, Johnny, you cannot go outside and play. You're going to stay in and take care of that cold. And it's distinctly understood you're to keep out of the den while Dorothy's entertaining Frankie Prentice.
Gee whiz, Mom. You never did anything like that before. What's the use of starting it now?
Johnny, when you're old enough, you can have the den for evenings, too.
Well, what would I do with the dead?
Johnny, just now Mother's trying to get a boiled frosting to the right temperature.
Gee, Mom, what's happened to Dorothy the last couple of days? She's always looking in the mirror and posing in front of it, trying out all kinds of makeup.
Well, it's something that came up all of a sudden.
If it was a secret, Mom, didn't she even tell you?
No, Johnny, she told you.
You mean giving me that nickel not to tell she talked to Frankie Prentice?
Yes.
But, Mom...
Now, Johnny, suppose you just take your questions out of the kitchen.
Out of the den, out of the living room, out of the house. Gee, what Frankie Prentice thought that Fred hasn't got her Bill or me?
Well, Florence, looks like you're right in the middle of things.
I should say I am, Uncle Jimmy. How does this take look?
Looks almost good enough for me to change places with Frankie Prince.
Oh, Uncle Jimmy, I want to apologize right here and now for making a spectacle of myself last night.
Oh, that's all forgotten about now, heaven's sake. The news about Bobby is simply thrilling. Why, Arnold Stewart may be where old J.D. is and Robert where his dad is in the firm.
Now, if we just had Miss Brenton in her right place, maybe peace and quiet would descend on this house for at least 48 hours. It certainly would be a relief.
Well, Mom, Uncle Jimmy, here are your children. Out to celebrate friend husband's triumph over the elements of high finance.
Don't believe him, Florence. We're just going to a neighborhood movie. Oh, Rosalind, you look lovely. Here, I think the crown on that hat's just a little too high. Let me adjust it.
See, Bobby, it's always a woman's touch that does the adjusting.
Yeah, you said it. Be it a hat, a wrinkled brow, or a very bad temper. Speaking of temper, you want to hear me growl?
Now you run along and have a grand time, the two of you. The three of us. I've invited Mitzi, and she's going in our car. Oh, Well, that's nice. Terribly nice. Thoughtful of you, Rosalind. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Must say that Rosalind's got her wits about her all right.
Hey, Mom! Frankie Prentice is here.
Not so loud. My goodness, Johnny, we've had visitors before.
Now, don't you do anything to embarrass Sister Dorothy, you little kite, you.
Gee, not for a million. Frankie's a regular fella, and we're going to get along swell.
Oh. On such short acquaintance.
Must be a mutual admiration society at first sight.
Frankie's mom was visiting her sick aunt, and they didn't have any place to leave his little sister Betty, so he brought her along.
Good heavens, Franz. Better put another cake in the oven.
That's not funny, Mom. Betty and me's got to be somewhere. So how about me having the living room for the rest of the evening, exclusive?
Stewarts and Uncle Jimmy, at least for the moment, are threatened with nothing worse than a double-barreled romance. But will Rosalind ever accept Mitzi as a friend? And did Mitzi come into Rosalind's life for some special purpose?